Hi, everyone. Welcome to Second Wind Women. I'm Karen Spies, and I'm here today with Anat Shinar.
Hi.
Welcome, Anat.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So Anat is a former high school teacher who reinvented herself twice. After 12 years in public and private education, she built a thriving after-school language program that served hundreds of students for more than 17 years. That is a long time. Then, following her own transformation in midlife, she found her true calling as a nutrition strategist, nervous system regulation expert, and menopause specialist. Anat combines science-based nutrition with powerful mind-body tools like EFT tapping and Reiki to help women over 40 balance their hormones, improve energy, sleep, and self-confidence, and feel calm and strong in their bodies again. These all sound like wonderful things.
Thank you.
Her story is proof that it is never too late to start over and that your second wind can truly be your strongest yet. She is the founder of Food for the Body and Soul, and you can find her at foodforthebodyandsoul.com.
True. All true. Thank you so much for the introduction.
You're welcome, Anat. So how did you get started doing after-school language programs? And was it just for children?
No, it was children and adults actually taught pre-K through high school and then adults too. I worked at a day school and a private day school. And at a certain point, they wouldn't let me work part-time. And I had young children. And after 4 years at that school, I decided, you know what, I'm just taking it into my own hands. And I'm going to be teaching after school so I can be there in the morning when the kids leave to school. If they're sick, I can be with them at home. And then in the afternoons, my husband could come home and spend time with them when I was teaching. So it just worked so great. And I could really control the content. I felt like I was giving the children better values, better education that's more focused to their needs. So that was really, it was so fun to do it at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so did you work in one particular school or were there a lot of different schools or?
Before I opened my own program?
No, when you started, your program wasn't in the actual school. It was like you had your own facility.
It was my own. Yeah. So I started at home. I had a dedicated room and then we moved to a bigger house. So the basement served me. But then we grew so much. There was so much traffic going on that I had to actually rent something away from home. And so I had an office space for, I believe it was 13 out of the 17 years that I was renting a space. And it grew from 300 square foot to 600 square foot. And yeah, it just served us so well.
And how many teachers did you have working with you? Just you? You managed all those kids?
Yes, it was so lovely. I love children. I love teaching. That's why I lasted so long in the system. And because I had such variety of ages, it just kept things so interesting.
Wow. That's really cool. So tell me about how you switched over basically into the life you had now. It sounds like you had a lot of entrepreneurship experience.
Yes. Oh, wow. Well, actually, it started a decade ago while I was still had my school. It was going on very strong. But I found myself in a situation where my health was not the best. I suddenly gained a lot of weight, kind of out of nowhere, 40 pounds overweight. And I was not sleeping so well, which, of course, affected my days. I needed a nap before I went to teach every night, every afternoon. I had night sweats. I was so puffy and inflamed. I didn't even realize everything was so connected. And I had to find a solution. And after trying every diet in the book, you name it, I tried it. And gaining some weight, losing weight and gaining double, finally found a program that actually did the work. And my transformation led to this huge eye-opening where I was so curious about nutrition and how it transformed my life. And I really wanted to learn more and go deeper. And so I went back to school. And while I was still running the show at school, went back and got certified in nutrition coaching, wellness coaching, life coaching. Then I became a Reiki master. And then EFT tapping found me. And then later in life, when I turned 45, 46, I went through another transition, which was perimenopause. And that changed everything. And I had to relearn the rules and went back to school. And got certified in specializing in women in perimenopause and menopause. And that was my second phase of getting more professional in the field. So it actually came from my own experience.
It's so funny because when you were first describing, you know, I had gained 40 pounds, I was sweating at night, I couldn't sleep. I was like, wow, she went into menopause. But no,
Yeah, it could have been perimenopause. I don't think so. I think I was so inflamed just from the food. I wasn't aware. I thought I was eating really healthy, but apparently I wasn't. And now I can recall that we were eating out a lot at the time, on the weekends with the boys, going out. And I think the food, now knowing the food industry really well, I know, I can say pretty, you know, I'm pretty sure it was inflammation and high toxicity from eating out and all the seed oils and the fats. Yeah. And now life is so much better.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like many, many years ago, and right when I graduated from my master's program, one of my side gigs was inspecting restaurants.
Oh.
No.
Yikes.
Never do that. Even the nice ones in their kitchens, they're awful. So talk a little bit, if you would, about the transition between something that's very kind of scientific, right? Like the nutrition coaching, right? Where you're really getting into macros and research and all that stuff, and how you ended up pairing that with kind of like more energetic things like EFT and Reiki.
That's such a great question. So Reiki found me when I was in the beginning of my transformation. I had heard about it years before from a friend, and I could never find the time because I was working weekends too. Could never find a time to actually get certified. Mm-hmm. And finally, there was a date where it was open and I could go, and Reiki just changed my life. And so I took Reiki 1 and Reiki 2 and Reiki 3, became a Reiki master. And my Reiki teacher actually became one of my dearest friends. And so it was one of the greatest gifts. And then when I learned EFT, actually saw it on a podcast, on the School of Greatness podcast. I was just watching a video and I saw Nick Ortner demonstrating, and my jaw dropped. And that's how I learned it. And when I saw the huge effect that it had, I had to combine it into my program. And so when people go to a nutritionist, they get a list of foods to eat and foods not to eat, and they are sent on their way. I don't work that way. My job is to know the woman inside and out, mind and body. I don't believe that it's all about the food. There's primary foods and there's secondary foods. The primary foods are not the physical foods. And we focus on these first. I make it my job to know the woman, her likes, her dislikes, her crazy schedules, what she feels. And we truly work on these emotions because the body is not just the physical body. EFT is a mind and body technique. And it literally, what it does is it combines ancient things from Chinese medicine, traditional medicine, and modern psychology and NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And when you combine the two, magic happens because you work with the physical body, and through these amazing techniques, you're able to change your physicality. So to your question, when we tap, we reach the amygdala, which is the fight or flight center of the brain. And we can literally rewire the brain to react differently the next time we have cravings. So if your cravings hit really hard at a 10 first time, and you learn how to tap, the next time that the trigger creates that cravings, your reaction is going to be completely different. And working with EFT for the last probably 6-7 years, I've seen amazing results with my clients when it comes to not only cravings, but depression, anxiety, fear, and even physical pain, which is quite remarkable. And that's why it's an integral part of my program.
That's cool. Yeah, I was kind of thinking, though, I mean, obviously you were magnetized towards these kind of alternative therapies, but I was thinking more about, like, you know, it's kind of like when you meet someone who's a doctor and they tell you to go to an acupuncturist and you're like, mm-hmm. What? That doesn't have anything to do with your training at all. I was kind of more curious. I mean, also curious about what you said, but curious about like how that training that was very much like, this is good, this is bad, this is the food industry, very like pragmatic, physical based training, how you, if it was just your nature to go towards something that was more energetic, or if there was some kind of evolvement there?
I really don't know. I think that they found me. I really, as a spiritual person, I do believe that these things just find their way to you. The universe just takes care of you. And when I heard about Reiki, it just created this curiosity and I just knew I had to learn it. And when I saw the demonstration on YouTube, I just felt like, oh my gosh, I just have to know what it is and how to use it first for myself. I didn't even think that it would be something I would ever use. When I learned Reiki, it was to treat my son who had continuous ear infection, right? That was my purpose. And years later, when I did go and study nutrition and life coaching, it was always in the back of my mind that these tools could be so incredible because they helped me through the changes that I had gone through. So I think it was just sent to me in a way that I just can't explain. And I'm so grateful for it.
That's fantastic. So you had the Reiki before you did the nutritional counseling?
No. Actually, while I was in the process of getting certified, because I took a lot of classes and Reiki was just one of the things that just popped up. It just worked out.
I love that. Like, you really, I like your, I've never heard anybody say like primary foods and secondary foods. So you're talking about primary foods are like your experiences and your emotions. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So primary foods are the things that are not the physical foods you put in the body. It's your spirituality and career and relationships and your preferences and your daily life and routines. And the secondary foods are the things you put in your mouth. These are the proteins and the carbs and maybe the hydration that you're drinking. So all of, and the fats, all of these things, these are the secondary foods. Because if, think about a person who is completely depressed at work and comes home to an empty house, they're not going to opt for the kale salad, right? They're going to go for the carbs and the sweets and the pastries. But if we regulate them and we provide tools to regulate their emotions, they'll come home and they'll have the tools to not immediately go to the pantry and start shoving food down their throats. They'll be able to regulate themselves. And that's why we focus on these things first and then the foods. Well, actually, my program is kind of spiral. We start working on both, but the focus is always on regulating and understanding our emotions and how we act before we really focus on the education on food.
Have you heard of the rat cocaine experiment? Have you heard of that?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
They did an experiment where they had basically a rat in a cage and they gave him two water bottles. And one was just water and the other was water with cocaine. And he wanted to feel good. He took all the cocaine until he...
Makes sense.
Right. But then they put him in a cage with like other rats and toys. And so he had like community and things were too... Didn't touch the cocaine.
Yeah, because if he felt included and people need the hug, people need the community. Yeah. And that completely, yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's a weird premise to start out, but you can see, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like self-medicating, right?
True. I completely agree. And I see it with my clients too. Even if they start out sometimes resistant, it's amazing to see how regulating their emotions and their nervous system completely changes the way that they eat and their willingness to accept some minor changes to their diets in order to see the changes, especially in midlife where it's so crucial to make those changes. Continue using the old playbook. It doesn't work anymore.
So how do people find you and connect with you and how do you kind of talk about your treating of the whole person?
Great question. So I'm online, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and I try and, provide useful content that will help people. I have a Facebook group where women are welcome to join free, and then I provide training there and recipes and education. I'm also on LinkedIn, and I go to different networking events, connecting with other professionals where we share what we do and we refer to one another. And then, of course, the biggest one is referrals. Mm-hmm. And clients see results and they tell their friends and then they share my stuff on Facebook. Then I reach a larger audience, and word of mouth is probably the best way to help clients. And when people are happy, they like to refer.
Well, yeah. And it's different than just like people just picking you out and be like, oh, I like her Instagram post. I'm going to go tell her everything about me.
It's funny because one of my newest clients was telling me just that I popped on her Facebook feed so often, but she didn't know me. And she felt kind of weird approaching me, which she shouldn't, because creating a discussion doesn't create any commitment on her side. But then she saw that we have a mutual friend And so she approached her, and that's how I got recommended. So these things just happen. Like I said, I trust that clients who come to you are the ones that you're supposed to be working with. And I'm so grateful for every opportunity to work with women and change their lives. And to your question, how do I describe this holistic approach of mine? So I developed a method that I call the TREE program, and it's an acronym. So the T stands for tiny habits and developing trust in your body. And the tree is, just think about a tree. In order for it to be healthy, the roots have to be strong, right? And that's where we start. We start with creating trust again with ourselves, with the food that we're eating, by developing very small, tiny habits, which, by the way, need to be new. Your habits cannot be the same as they were 10 years ago.
Right.
And we develop them gradually. Then the part is the regulation. We regulate the immune system, mostly using EFT tapping and many other somatic exercises, which are so simplistic, but highly effective. And everybody can do them, you know, at their own time during the day. And we make them intentional. The first E is eating for your hormones. Because once you get to midlife, you have to eat for your hormones. Otherwise, it's going to be messy. And it's going to be very hard to not only lose weight, but stay healthy and keep the cardiovascular system healthy, your brain, your bones, everything. The other E is the emotional aspect of it, where and empowerment. Because so many women speak down to themselves, and they would say things to themselves that they wouldn't say to a friend. And so we talk about the way that they speak to themselves. We change limiting beliefs, and we learn how to empower ourselves and treat ourselves with respect. Because a woman who doesn't love herself the way she is now will never make the effort to get better and to invest in herself, whether it's time or money. And so when we work spirally through all of these pieces of the tree, so-called, that's how we see the transformation, which is remarkable every time.
Awesome. So what would you say is the biggest issue that people come to you with? And on top of that, what do you think is maybe the something that they learn after working with you?
So I would say probably 80% of women, maybe even 90, come to me for weight loss after they've tried everything. And the main thing that I hear is, I'm doing everything right. Why is nothing happening for me? I'm eating well. I'm exercising like crazy. Why can I not lose the weight? And why am I so exhausted? And why is my memory slipping from me? So these are the main concerns that I see. And then when we start working together, I believe that what happens with them after the process, of course, they lose the weight, but they learn so much about how their body works. I teach them about the biology. I teach them what happens in their body, what hormones are, what each of the hormones does. And when they understand the impact of, if I put this in my body, this is the result, then they know not to do it and how to tweak it in a way that's not difficult, but highly impactful on their health. And so when they start seeing results quite quickly, then they don't need motivation. Because it's just intrinsic. When you feel good, why would you not do it? And so I think one of the first things is really the weight loss. They report more energy very quickly, better sleep, and they're happier. And they always tell me, my husband said I was in a much better mood this week. I don't know what's going on. So these are the first things that I actually hear, even after just a couple of weeks of working together.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I recently lost a lot of weight and it made me a lot happier. I could fit in my clothes again. My shoes weren't tight. I could wear rings. I'm not wearing any right, but you know, like I think there's a lot of poo-pooing about people who want to lose weight, particularly older women in our culture. And I think it's, you know, it's really like a health and lifestyle and happiness issue. As not that appearance isn't an important way about how you feel about yourself, but you're right. It makes such a, it's kind of like what you're saying. One of the primary foods, right, is having a body that feels good. Cause then, you know, this willpower thing is not, it sounds like you have it, you're basically setting it up so people are being rewarded tiny, tiny bits along the way. So they're not relying on willpower. They're relying on results. Right?
Exactly. I don't believe in motivation. A motivation is great for a week. I don't think anybody can be, say, motivated for a while. But one of the things that does work is accountability. And that's one of the things that's what helped me when I was in this process of weight loss and actually a whole transformation, because it was so much more than just losing weight for me. I literally hold their hand every single day. So I'm in touch with my clients on a daily basis, their choice of channel. And I just make sure that they can reach out to me, ask me any question. And I always ask what's going on, and I'll send them some positive affirmations and encouragement. Because when you have someone who is, you know, who you know has your back, you don't really need the motivation, but you're also accountable. Someone's watching. And that, I think, is much more powerful. And when you get in the habit of eating healthy and you understand what's behind it, what the theory is and the science, you don't need motivation anymore. Like you said, it's the daily wins and having to report back to me at the end of the week. And there's never judgment. I'm human too. I was in the same place. I know exactly what they're going through. And it's a discussion of what went well, what can we celebrate, and what was a struggle this week. And let's find a way to coach on that and find a way that works for them so that it's doable. Because if they leave the session overwhelmed, I have not done my job. So it's always a back and forth. There is a feedback. And like I said, support is better than motivation.
Hi, it's Karen. I wanted to remind you guys to go to secondwindwomen.com/community-offers to see all the offers from our guests for free meetups, discounts on products, consults, etc. So do check that out. And don't forget that we are here to support you. We can help you with Google ads, websites, Facebook and Instagram ads, Google reviews. There's so many digital ways we can support your business, and we're happy to help. Just reach out to me and my team. How long do people normally work with you?
So I usually say 90 days is the minimum. We usually need that in order to see serious transformations. So that's the minimum. It's a 90-day program. And then for some people, it's more than enough, and they're already, you know, they've lost the weight, they feel great. And again, some people need to lose a lot of weight or need more hand-holding, or it takes them more time. And so it's really, it varies from person to person, but my basic program is 12 weeks.
Okay. Okay, great. And you said something about when we had talked before about you've been doing some speaking. What are you normally speaking on?
So what I do workshops mostly. Where, again, there's different things that I like to talk about. One of them is really perimenopause and menopause, and just explaining to people in the simplest way what the heck is going on in their body so that they understand why they're suffering from these symptoms. And we go through a lot of the symptoms because, interestingly, women as young as 35 are experiencing all kinds of weird stuff, and they don't even realize it has to do with perimenopause because they're too young. But we now know there's not a too young to be perimenopausal. And so I introduce those symptoms, go over the hormones, and really give them simple tools to start managing that. The second thing is the focus on nutrition. I have a specific workshop on nutrition after 40. I call it What Your Hormones Wish You Knew. And that literally breaks down three shifts that are kind of shocking to them that they never knew. And they always come to me after, like, I've been doing the opposite of what you just taught me. Why hasn't anybody shared that with me before? So it's very hands-on. So it's not me standing and speaking. I literally have these workshops where it's very interactive. They actually get to experiment, touch things, read things, and learn how to apply to their own lives, which that's how you learn the best way. As a teacher, I bring my teaching tools from the classroom to the workshops. And then the other thing is sleep, which to me is the most important pillar of all. And I know a lot of women in midlife just don't have that. And we can elaborate on that if you want. So there is a separate one for sleep, and then stress. Stress management is huge. There's a whole workshop on that. And then meal planning and meal prepping, one of my favorite things to do because we can simplify it. And women think it's complicated to eat healthy, and it really isn't. We can really make it simple and still enjoy such amazing nutrition, lose weight, and get stronger, because it's not about being skinny. It's about being healthy and strong. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Those are all great subjects. particularly sleep, is huge. There was a book that came out. I think the book is just called Sleep. And I listened to the audio book version of it. And the guy was like, if you had a drug that could make you healthier, prevent cancer, prevent this, prevent that, you know, blah, 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 would you take it? How much would you pay for that drug? And they're like, yeah. Sleep. Mm-hmm. Sleep does all those things.
It's Dr. Matthew Walker with Why Sleep. That's the book. And he's brilliant. Okay. He is a pioneer in sleep. And he keeps updating the science. It's just incredible to listen to him speak about this. And I'm a geek. And to me, you know, I always love learning new things. And sleep has been a project for me for the last few years because I had to remedy my own sleep. I didn't used to have sleep problems until I had babies. And then when the babies grew up, I finally started sleeping. And then perimenopause hit. And knowing the importance of sleep stressed me out when I wasn't sleeping well. So I just had to figure out a way. And I created a method that put me back to sleep. And so that's one of the things.
How did you do that, right? Because that's the feedback loop that gets people, you know, mm-hmm. I need to sleep. I only have this many hours left, you know.
Yeah, it's a process. And Matthew Walker actually listened to all of his podcasts and read the book and read all the articles and the studies and really made it a point to figure out what's the thing that needs to change. And that's why I focus so much on stress management in my work with people and with myself. Because when your body is regulated, you can fall asleep and stay asleep. And again, it's regulating the hormones because estrogen and progesterone are also, so for example, estrogen is the hormone that produces serotonin and melatonin. And when it goes down, you're losing that, right? Progesterone is the first hormone that completely disappears from the system. That's the calming hormone. This is the one that allows us to relax at the end of the day, fall asleep and stay asleep. And so imagine a life where you have none of these. It's so hard. And that's why women are so irritable and they're so on at night instead of sleeping, waking up at 3 a.m. trying to solve the world's problems instead of sleeping through the night. But when we work with hormones and we balance them out and we're able to have more estrogen and cause the body to think that it has progesterone or estrogen using nutrition, everything is more balanced. And when we introduced the regulation techniques like EFT and somatic exercises and some tricks to make the brain think it's falling asleep again, which work like magic, life is so much better. It's just better. And it affects weight loss. It affects everything.
Yeah, the cortisol connection is a big deal. That's when I started to get hot flashes, I was amazed because it was like the stress. Normally, when you're not perimenopausal or menopausal and you feel stressed, you're like, I'm agitated. But when you have hot flashes, you're like, oh, that person is coming towards me. I'm like, what is happening? You know?
Very true. Very true. Cortisol is huge. And, you know, cortisol is related to everything. When your cortisol is high, then your whole system reacts. Because what happens when cortisol is high, and by the way, we have a higher start point in perimenopause just because of the lack of estrogen. Mm. So women, even without being stressed out from anything, you have higher cortisol to begin with. And so what happens when the body has higher cortisol, the brain goes into fight or flight mode. And fight or flight mode means, uh-oh, danger, danger, woo, woo. And then what happens, there's glucose being secreted from the liver, from your muscles, the storage, right? And then you're flooded with all this sugar, but you're sitting in bed or laying in bed. You're not running anywhere. And so what happens, there's high risk for type 2 diabetes if you have high cortisol, especially at night. Mm. And then guess what happens with all that excess sugar? It goes into new fat cells that the brain loves to direct to our belly area. And why is that? Because that's where most of our most essential organs sit. And the brain just wants to protect them because we're at war. Or there's danger.
So you're literally laying in bed at night, not sleeping, getting fatter.
You put it very simply and very correctly. And that's why we have to manage stress and we have to sleep. And that's what happens to women. And not only that, when you don't sleep at night and you've got all this sugar going, you're also impacting the hunger and the satiety hormones. And so you wake up in the morning and instead of having more of the satiety hormone called leptin, you end up having more ghrelin, which is the hunger hormone, And guess what you'll want to eat during the day? Hint, not the lettuce.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be the pastries and the sugary stuff. And so it's like this vicious cycle where if left untreated, things just get from bad to worse. And that's what we try and tackle with nutrition and nervous system regulation and all the good stuff.
So you have some 5-day challenges, right?
Yes, I do. So I offer 5-day challenges a couple times a year and they differ. So one of my challenges is the Step It Up challenge where the weather gets nice, either fall or spring, and we head out and I go live or I send videos via email with motivation and some insights as to the benefits of walking, how to walk correctly, how to integrate it with healthier foods, and just to get people to see how they can create healthy habits. And one healthy habit actually leads into another. And that's what I teach all these methodologies. The other one is called 5 to Thrive, where we adopt a new healthy habit every day within 5 days, which gives them a sense of a win and a daily success and shows them, hey, I can actually drink my water and I can actually go for the walk and I can actually have more protein or add healthy fats. And by the end of the week, they feel so good that they want to continue doing this. And again, after a challenge like that, a lot of times people will reach out to me and say, hey, can we have a chat? I might need to work with you, right? Or do you have a group program that's starting? And so that's another beautiful way for people to get to work with me for free or for a very small price, see what I do, and then see if we fit to work together. So I just love doing that. And I get to know so many new people every time.
It sounds like you're like, you have a menu of like, a great life. And you're like, what do you want? Like pick the, you know, what's your choice on exercise? What's your choice on food? What's your choice on stress management? Right. You have like a whole lifestyle design pretty much.
It took me almost a decade to create it, but it seems to be working really well.
Wow. That's fantastic. So how did your family feel, just to go back a little bit, when you said, I'm not going to teach it. Kids anymore, or language rather. How did your family feel when you made that? Were they like, oh yeah, cool, it makes sense? Or are they like, what's going on? Or your husband,
Oh, it wasn't something that happened overnight. So COVID kind of helped with that. When COVID hit, I had to shut down my school. And I also had, I had two practices. I had my classroom where I was teaching in the afternoon, and I had my coaching clinic where I was seeing women in the morning and in the evenings. And so I kept both open for a whole year. And then a year after, well, it was still during COVID, I had to decide whether I was going back to teach in person or keep going via Zoom. And after a lot of thought, I decided to stick with Zoom because I actually had more clients and more students virtually who couldn't, you know, who are not local necessarily.
Yeah.
And when I was doing that, still focusing on two businesses at a time, I was about to turn 50. And I'm a perfectionist trying to heal from that disease. And I decided that it was a little too much for me. And I really fell in love with coaching women. And I was teaching, I'd been teaching for 27 years at the time. And I had to come to the conclusion whether I was going to keep doing both or stick to one. And it was actually my oldest, who is now 27, and he was living at home at the time. And he really pushed me and he encouraged me to end my teaching career and focus solely on coaching. He saw the growth. He saw the potential. He saw how much I loved it. And, you know, and it took me a while, but I gave myself a year of trial and I said, if I could match my income from coaching, I'm going to do that. And that's what happened. And it was thanks to his encouragement. And he actually helped me, taught me all the backside of the business and how to create those sales pages and the systems and the CRMs. And he actually sat with me and taught me all these things, which made it easier. It wasn't the family that was shocked from the disease. It was the parents and the kids who didn't see it coming. And so that was the hardest part for me, was to announce that I was retiring from teaching. But, you know, I felt
emotional, isn't it?
It was really emotional. And I thought it would be a very tough transition for me. But I think because my coaching business was already so established, it made the transition easier. I do miss teaching. I miss those children, especially during holidays and, you know, but teaching all these things. Yeah, it was a great decision because I think I, you know, 27 years of teaching children, I think I did my thing. I also think they're lucky because I'd rather be the teacher retiring and people still like her than saying, oh my gosh, she retired a decade ago.
I can't believe she's still holding on.
Exactly.
Another year. Uh-huh. Yeah, that, exactly. I mean, you sound like a real planner. I don't know how you kept two businesses running for a year concurrently. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, I think one of my strong suits is being very organized and very planned out. It's also not so great sometimes, but yeah, that really helped me keep both businesses running at the same time.
Fantastic. So how can, I think you had some offer for the listeners that you wanted to share.
Yes, I'm offering a pre-recorded EFT tapping session for sleep. Like I said, sleep is such a priority. It should be for everyone. Skip the extra episode on Netflix and get an extra hour of sleep. It will do you so much good. So people who download that actually get me teaching on video how to do EFT, how to tap, and it's only 10 minutes, including the explanation. So once you do it the next time, it's 5 minutes. And it helps you fall asleep better, calm down the nervous system, reduce cortisol, and literally stay asleep through the night. And don't do it once. It needs to be done every day or almost every day. And if you do stick with it, you're going to see amazing changes in your sleep. It works like magic. EFT is scientifically approved by over 350 clinical studies. So it's not woo, it's actual science. And it works. So I'm just very honored to share this gift with anybody who wants to receive.
That's fantastic. How can people find that? Thank you so much, Anat. I had an awesome time talking to you. And like, I never get tired of talking about this cortisol, estrogen, sleep, good diet stuff. I mean, it's so important. And I think that, you know, it's different when your body changes, right?
It's very different. And, you know, as we age, a lot of women just don't realize that there's so many different things we need to do. And yes, there are some sacrifices, but if we want to, you know, to age in the healthiest way, and I don't think it's about the numbers, right? It's not about living to be 100. It's how well do you live those years that you have left? And you can be 100 in a wheelchair, or you can be 100 years old climbing a mountain. And I want to be the latter. I want to chase my grandchildren and maybe great-grandchildren and not sit in a wheelchair. And the actions that I take today are going to allow me to do that. I hope I do the best. And I hope every other woman thinks that way. And that's what we need to think about when we have to pick between the pasta or the chicken salad, right? And it doesn't taste that bad either, right? And it doesn't mean we can't have pasta. And that's what I teach too. It's a balance. I eat chocolate every day. I do eat pasta and pizza. And I have my wine once a week. It's just a matter of balancing, timing, and portion control. When you have that puzzle complete, you're a winner.
You know I'm going to take that I eat chocolate every day as a clip.
You should, right?
Yeah,
You should. I eat chocolate every day. There's no way I'm going to miss out on it has to be dark chocolate, high quality,
yeah, of course.
Right?
Which is
but
better
I do,
anyway. More
I
delicious.
Do eat my chocolate. Yeah that's cool. A non-negotiable in my life.
Well, it's great to talk with you, and I will put the links, all of your links, in the notes so people can connect with you.
Thank you so much. This was such a pleasure. I felt so connected to you, so much, such great chemistry. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate
it. Yeah, you're so welcome. Happy to do it. Take care.
Thank you.
Wow, that was so much fun. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. We'll see you next time on Second Wind Women. Let's make your second wind the strongest yet. Thanks.